Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 554. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Jeremy Mays. What is up, good sir?
Well, happy birthday to you. What's going on?
Yes, I was amused that, you wondered if I was going to do this, and evidently Chris wondered if I was going to do this. And, I kind of wonder if you guys think that I have a secret life that I don't report on Instagram that would cause me not to record on a Tuesday night, because it was a normal day today. It's going to be a normal day tomorrow.
You have a wife, though, who was, you know, she could have taken you out or made special plans or something.
Those special plans will be had later.
Yeah.
Not this evening.
Once upon a time, that wasn't so out there to think.
Oh.
Kevin may not be available on his birthday or the next day.
Unfortunately, those days are a bygone era at this point.
It's funny you say that, because Elisa, like, she's talking, like, she's heard the stories about us going out and all this stuff, and then after we've met, like, after, you know, I think, what, the first time in Atlanta for WrestleMania, we got tore up that first day.
Oh, yeah, the Bruce Hardy incident, we were definitely hammered for that.
That wasn't Elise, by the way.
Oh.
Yeah, that was the other one. No, WrestleMania 27, that's when, that was WrestleMania.
Oh, shit.
That's when Eric was with us and we went to that pizza joint.
Oh.
And we were just throwing shit back. Yeah.
Yeah.
The good old days where we used to get trashed the very first night of WrestleMania. WrestleMania weekend, I should say.
Well, because there wasn't anything else to do. Like, it's like, oh, we only have to worry about the Hall of Fame induction tonight, possibly Ring of Honor. There wasn't, like, 24/7 wrestling.
Yeah. No, so that's funny, though. She always hears, like, the stories and this and this, and she's like, Kevin's not, not the same. She doesn't have anything really outside of words to go off of.
Right.
She's like, Kevin's not what you said. And I'm like, well, I mean, we're older, so.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Well, one of us is older. The other one is more mature. I think that's the better way of saying it.
I sometimes have the will to drink more, but, day drinking is just such a thing at this point for me. Like, it's like I've got to have time to get my drinks in and then be able to hydrate the rest of the evening so that I'm not hammered the next day.
Yeah, that's fair. Like, my buddy Greg, I don't know if you met him when you were in town, but
come here.
Him and his fiance, it's like, yeah, it's all right, 8 o'clock, we're going home. And it's basically to protect her, because poor girl. But yeah, but then at the same time, it's like, this isn't a bad idea.
Oh,
and then, like, well, on the way home, you want to stop here? Sure. Well, I mean, that blah 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 is right around the corner. Yeah, we can grab one there, and then all of a sudden it's midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. You're like, all we were doing was going to the store. And here it is, 1:30 in the morning, we're rolling in.
The cat that everyone may have just heard does not help in the equation. He is an early riser. Yeah, did you just hear, are you complaining on mic for everyone?
I thought that was Melissa.
No, I think someone actually needs some food.
Oh.
So I'm actually going to hit pause here.
Oh, okay.
Well, with that interruption out of the way, the day drinking is the way for me to go at this point. Jamming a few flights. And actually, that's going to be one of the things on the birthday. That's the one funny thing about the birthday. There's been all stuff surrounding my birthday, because there are a bunch of events now that pretty much happen every week or every year of my birthday weekend, because there's the Columbus Crew has their home opener almost always the first weekend of March. It's usually rather frigid, but it was a nice sunny 50 degree day this year. And then the Arnold Classic is always the weekend of my birthday, which means NXT is in town. This was one of the first stops for NXT on tour, so that will be my non-recording night, which has been the AEW NXT night. So I will be watching them live, and I'm kind of looking forward to it. My birthday present to myself was even nicer seats than normal.
Well, we haven't had much of anything for live wrestling here, so.
Which is kind of funny. Like there was that one point where I'm like, dear Lord, I feel like he's going to a live event every weekend, because like you hit New Japan and MLW or
no? They've never come here. Evolve.
Oh, Evolve.
Yeah, which have been some of the best shows I've seen.
Yeah.
So, but no, yeah, it's weird. It's Evolve was coming here. A bunch. Like I think I saw three shows of them last year, maybe two. Like they might have been close together. But yeah, and I was even thinking like concerts and that, but that's kind of picked up now because it's summertime. But or summertime shows, I should say. But no, we're actually trying to be financially responsible. Whatever. So
yeah,
she's not. So go figure.
I'm ready to. I'm ready to purchase some more stuff. Because, Absolute Intense Wrestling, on their way through to Tampa, they are doing a show here in Columbus.
Oh, nice.
So I'm actually probably going to buy tickets to that, or a ticket to that here in the near future. And it's at one of the... it's one of the better breweries that's one of those things that... I'm gonna start doing this coming year, which is I'm cutting some breweries out of my life. As much fun as the Columbus Ale Trail has been, there are just some places that aren't very good that that I can just cut out of my life. And I'm hoping that Hoof Hearted, who is hosting Absolute Intense Wrestling, I get to their location a little more frequently than I have. Like, again, because I don't drink as much as you and I did in college, there's only so many times I'll probably be able to swing in there, but a couple extra times a year I think would be a most positive thing. So I'm kind of excited about that, too, that it's going to be at one of the better breweries.
Did you say Hoof Farted?
Hoof Hearted.
Oh, come on. All right. Well, what, is it like a goat or something?
Yeah, it's a centaur as their main character, yes.
That's the name of a beer, not the name of a brewery.
And it's not... I wasn't really surprised that they're the ones to host this, because they did... I don't know if you've ever heard the metal band Power Trip. They had them come. They have a very metal and wrestling kind of esque vibe to their to a lot of their imagery that they use on their cans and on their logos. But I kind of laughed when I heard of it as a name, because my ex-brother-in-law always uses that for his fantasy sports teams. So the fact that someone made a brewery out of that name kind of made me chuckle.
Well, the name, the idea that that's, you know, the name and that your ex-brother-in-law did that should really tell you all you need to know about that name. That name sucks. Oh, well. Yeah. All right. So on that part though, like, Have you seen the Impact shows that are held in breweries?
No.
Yeah. And I'm like, I think it's been two now. And I'm like, what a great idea. Like, I lost my mind. We were in Cancun, so it's a fair trade-off. Like, Clutch played at Highland Brewing in Asheville.
Oh.
They have, like, a whole stage amphitheater thing set up there. And I was like, wait a minute. Because Highland's one of my favorites in Asheville.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait. I could see my favorite band at one of my favorite breweries. Oh, my God, I'm going to die. Like, I'm literally going to drink myself to death listening to this thing. But, and then, so I was like, you know what, that always seemed like a decent idea. Like an actual concert at your brewery, and then not some goddamn white guy on an acoustic guitar playing Even Flow or whatever.
Even Flow. Oh.
It's not Even Flow. It's Alive. That seems to be the white guy Pearl Jam song.
Oh.
You know? And it's like, yeah. Okay, cool, bro. It's the best one ever. The best, like, in this weird, of course, got off topic already, but the best, like, acoustic or, like, music in a brewery I've been to was that Bird song.
Uh-huh.
The guy was playing acoustic punk songs. He's playing covers he's playing acoustic covers of punk songs.
Nice.
And I don't mean like your normal ones. He's playing like the Misfits, like I think he played Danzig, which is kind of the same thing. But,
yeah,
but it was Rancid. I think Screeching Weasel was one of them.
Oh, okay.
And I'm sitting there with Elise going, "This is the best goddamn like in-house like acoustic I've ever heard." And he started playing Bad Brains.
And oh, nice. Like,
It's American Jesus by Bad Religion. You start playing that.
Oh.
Yeah. Like that kind of stuff. Like,
sounds like a good catalog.
Yes, the guy was all over and I'm like, this is great. We gotta go, because we drove. So no, we can't I would stay there all night. Yeah, so anyways.
I
thought that was a cool idea.
Yeah, this one's not going to be, because I started to wonder, I saw the floor plan for Who Farted, and I'm just like, how's a wrestling ring going to fit in that thing? Like, I'm like, that doesn't make any goddamn sense. I don't care if the indie rings are 18 by 18. There's no way that shit's fitting inside. And yeah. Sure enough, they're doing it out in the parking lot under a tent.
That makes sense. It's like the time we got to see that. Remember the Half Pint Brawlers?
Yes.
Yeah, we went and saw them at Quaker Steak. And one, it was three of them. Two, it was on St. Patrick's Day. And three, the most important part is, they didn't have enough guys for matches. And they had an MMA ring, because Quaker used to hold their own fights.
Oh, okay.
It was a shit show. But luckily, Quaker was a half mile straight shot down the road, so we got to get all liquored up and hang out with him afterwards, so that was fun. There are times I look back on like our shenanigans, and I'm like, we should be dead. Like that, do you remember that Valentine's Day where we went to Eric's place and I was so drunk I threw up as soon as I got to his place?
That is a story I may have recited once or twice.
I should be embarrassed by that, but like, it's a long story, but the circumstances are just hilarious to me.
It's
so absurd.
Was that not, if I'm correct in recalling the story, because it does, if I'm right, connect into wrestling. Weren't you guys over at my place for an ECW pay-per-view?
Yes. Didn't I? No, it was...
Yeah.
They had a special edition of Raw taped from Toronto because there was something else on USA that week. So this was like... Yeah, it was from the... I think it was from the Sky Dome.
Okay.
If I remember right. No, it could have been Sky Dome, not from Raw. But,
Yeah, I knew that wrestling was involved.
Yeah. Yes, and it was for, like, it was for Valentine's Day, and they that was the one where like barely anything happened. But yeah. It was the week after your 40s party.
No, it was the day after my 40s party, so I still had 40s left.
Yes. So
and yeah, we
like there were water.
Yeah, we were drinking 40s and then went over to our friend's place after having...
We're paraphrasing the story then, so...
Yeah, after having several 40s.
Was it... All right, we can't recount the whole thing, but was that what instigated the foosballs being hidden from us? Or was that after the infamous... Who's rooting for Diamond Dallas Page pay-per-view?
It was after the pay-per-view.
Okay.
Because we weren't... That was a weekend, if I recall correctly.
Yes.
The 40s incident that we're talking about. So there wasn't a problem with us being up late. And plus, I think that we left, you know, at bar time. By college standards, you know, I think that we were out of my place by like 11 o'clock at the latest.
Yeah, because that makes sense, because Raw had ended.
Yeah.
But no, it was only 2 hours. Yeah, it was 11 because we were playing foosball, because I was talking mad shit, because I was blind drunk playing that thing. I just remember yelling, "That's a goal," every time I scored. What a shithead. What an absolute shithead. You're playing this game with your friends, and you're just acting like an asshole. Yeah, because I remember Mike's brother picked us up and drove us all over to the Valentine's party.
Yes, we did. It should be noted that of the number of times that something bad should have happened to us, that actually wasn't one of them because we had a sober driver for a change.
Yep. Yes. Yeah, very responsible of us. So,
yeah, I cannot say that that was the case most of the time, but that was one of the few times.
Yeah, that was dumb luck. Ryan just showed up. But...
Yeah, it was.
But no, yeah, so long story short, Jeremy's very drunk. His girlfriend's at our gay friend Eric's place having his very quiet party, and here comes all of us, liquor to the nines. Someone ate chicken and JoJo's. And someone's chicken and JoJo's ended up all over the sink within a minute and a half of being there. And just what really makes the story, because how everything's turned out, is the girlfriend going, "I was so happy to see you. And then I saw you." And I drove home that night. That's the crux. That's how this all started. I drove
home. I forgot about that part of the story.
Yes, she's like, are you okay to drive? I'm like, of course I am. No, that's what actually bothered me, and it still bothers me now. Like, I'm laughing about it, but
yeah,
when I remember driving, like, I don't remember a lot,
right?
But I remember driving, and I remember taking turns. I mean, a left-hand turn was like a number 9.
Oh my god!
Come back. I went down a wrong. I went down a one-way street, and that, which it can't. Yeah, whatever. But it's still the fact that I was that smashed and drove. Like, that was really fucking stupid. Like, I'm not proud of that because, like I said, should probably been in major trouble. Just happened to not get caught. You know.
Right.
So, but anyways, yeah. So.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we could finally talk about wrestling from a more recent time period.
Yeah, and it wasn't who's rooting for DDP. I was mad that he won. I was yelling at these kids for cheering for Saturn. That was it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was the same pay-per-view.
No, because that was when we were down at B-Dubs.
Yes. So
we weren't down at B-Dubs that night.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Maybe the other incident that we wove in there was the night that you're yelling at the kids for rooting for Saturn.
Yes. And then Diamond Dallas Page won the title, and we're like, well, I think this might have been the same one. I might be getting two of them confused. And then we just kind of stopped watching them. So, to kind of tie the story, that's why we didn't stay out late Saturday. It was nice to have a reason to go home. I actually did order. I ordered on cable through my local cable provider, AEW's Revolution, and I've been the one that's been kind of like on the fence about AEW, but I was just so intrigued by the whole thing, like with Cody, MJF, like Moxley, Jericho, all that stuff. So I'm like, you know what? I just spent $60 the night before on beer. I have nothing to show for it. At least this will give me a DVR recording, you know? So.
Yeah, and that's kind of funny because that was something where I think that we were home most of Saturday night because we did day drinking. And I guess I was similarly not intrigued.
Really?
Just because I thought it was pretty obvious that Moxley was going to win.
See, to me, I wasn't. Because, and I was actually surprised when he won. Because I'm thinking, all right, so where do we go now? Like, Jericho was great in his role as champion. I mean,
thanks, buddy.
Now he doesn't have it.
Come here.
I don't know what his purpose is going to be. I know his band's getting ready to tour, so he's probably going to take off. I would think. But, well, knowing him, he does do those spot things where he just shows up anyways. But.
Yeah, he's been very proud of the "I've flown to three different cities in 24 hours, aren't I great" post.
I've done the same thing, so.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
So, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, it does really help that, A, he can film segments for them pretty much any time, and he only needs to be there on a Wednesday.
Yes, yeah.
You know, I mean, it's basically, well, I would think that he could have, if, talked the WWE into a similar schedule had he wanted. But, you know, he really has that with AEW. And I did, I guess I thought it was a great idea to start him off as champion and have it eventually move on to someone. And I guess he's had the title to me at this point long enough that he's kind of served his purpose. I think that he can still keep on being a dick and just have feuds, especially if he has all the help that he has.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was expecting it to get around to Cody being the one again somehow, but whatever on that. I mean, it's like, okay, sure. But I just thought it was funny also that the first two AEW champions are both WWE guys. You've got Kenny Omega. I know Adam Page wasn't ready. Like, I know that they, you know, now I think it would go over pretty well with that audience.
Oh, but right.
At the time, I don't think people wanted him to win. You didn't get, like, I don't know. Back then, I didn't get the feeling people wanted Adam Page to win. Like, he wasn't there yet. But it's like Kenny Omega, Pac, I could actually see. Any of these guys, like those guys, I didn't see Moxley being the guy that wins so fast. So, that's why I was intrigued. I'm like, all right, let's see what happens here. Now, Moxley probably is going to lose to Omega, I would think, because you can't keep who should be, like, I know he's one of your EVPs, but he's also the most recognized, like, not the most recognizable. That's not the case at all, but. Like, that's the guy that everyone wants to see.
Oh.
They want to see the New Japan Kenny Omega, not this version.
Well, they have done a better job of turning him into the New Japan version here recently. I mean, I think that they've done a pretty nice job. Really, just the Young Bucks themselves, honestly, and Kenny Omega of salvaging themselves after... You know, I think it was wise not to just straight up put yourself over.
Yeah. Well, that's what was so funny, and Shaheed pointed this out when we were talking about it, because he's not a fan of the Young Bucks. He just doesn't like them.
Yeah.
And I can see why. They're not, like, when they got booed Saturday. And I thought, yeah, that's what should be happening. Like, they dress, the way they act, everything. They're dicks. But yeah, people are cheering for him. Like, okay, it's kind of weird, but
yeah, I always find it awkward that you've got to be a real big dick to get over there, to get booed these days.
Yeah,
because if you just do some slightly heelish stuff, you're just going to get cheered, and yeah. I think that's what was. That's what they were doing, is that they were doing slightly heelish stuff, but they weren't really being dicks when they were on the indies. And now, especially with the Adam Page stuff, you can tell that they're crumbling across as dicks, I think. And there's definitely been something of a difference in their demeanor, which helps a lot.
Oh, dude, that tag match, I don't know if you heard about it, read about it. It's as good as everyone says it was. And this is always the weird thing about wrestling. These guys are friends. Like, legit, these guys are supposed to be, like, really good friends. Adam Page straight up spit in, oh, God. He has the mutton chops.
Matt.
Yeah. He straight up spit in Matt's face. And I don't mean, like, a little one. It was disgusting. And I went, okay, so, all right, so imagine, like, you and I, all right, I know you and Jason had your hardcore match or whatever, but imagine that, though.
We like, did Jason, not.
Like, I'm doing this for show, and I'm going to spit right in your face. You're like, you're out of your fucking mind. No. That's disgusting, bro. Nope. I mean, yeah, just stuff like that. That's always the confusing part, like, listening to, just a little aside, the New Day podcast, and the Usos were on, and they were talking about the Hell in a Cell. And uh-huh. They're beating Xavier with a kendo stick. And they're all, and like the Usos even said, like, I don't know why you told us to do that. Like, that was your idea. But it's like, they're still doing it. Like, they still did it anyway. So it's very odd. But anyways, that match was great. And It set, at the end, the Bucks lost, which kind of surprised me, because I thought, all right, this is the time, and then finally Adam, because Kenny Omega's got nothing to do outside of the tag team right now.
Yeah.
So why not have him, why not have him lose, and then he's got something to do, him and Adam Page can feud, But that's clearly not what they went with yet, although they, very good tease, it was so nice. Not hearing the announcers not be total idiots.
Oh.
Because I don't know if you saw the end. I don't know if you saw any of the highlights. But at the end, he refuses to shake the Young Bucks' hands.
Paige, yeah.
And he's standing outside the ring. Omega's got his back turned. Well, Paige starts setting up for the Buckshot Lariat. And Omega turns around and is like, what the hell's wrong with you? And he's like, nah, I'm just holding the ropes for you. And even the announcers, like Excalibur and Jim Ross, both went, that looked like he was about ready to do something. Now, if this is WWE, they'd be like, oh, my God, I don't know if... And then someone would argue, no, he's clearly doing this. No, they all agreed, like, that looked fishy. And so, I mean, and then he did the one-winged angel.
Uh-huh.
And during the match, and yeah, just a lot of stuff. They paid off a lot of stuff. Like, the Bucks did the golden trigger on Kenny Omega.
I guess that's the other reason why sometimes I'm like, you were talking about buying the pay-per-view. I'm like, I got a lot of this information just reading online.
Yeah. But it's also like you can read about a movie too. You know?
Well, so, yeah.
And you're like, yeah, the movie's way better than just reading about it.
That is true. But it does, even as expensive as movies are now, I go at the matinee showings more times than not. So I do even try to cheap out when I go to the movies. Yeah, $50 is still kind of a decent chunk of money. I mean, I know that you paid more for beer, and I probably paid more for beer when I was out day drinking, honestly.
Yeah.
It's just like, do I need to watch even more wrestling than I am already for another $50?
Yeah, I mean, that's true, but, and we'll get to it in a second, the amount of time I've been putting into WWE, it's not that much. So, outside of NXT, which again, I don't know if we still count that as WWE or not, but...
Oh, I cannot tell you how much better I feel having started to skip doing the Monday night write-up.
Yeah, no, I noticed.
Well, I think Shahid, I don't know if Shahid really talked me into it, but he's just like, dude, just stop doing it then.
Yeah.
It wasn't that hard. I'm just like, yeah, and I have been working on some other stuff for the site, mostly the beer column, some graphic stuff. But it's just like, oh my God, watching Raw feels so much better not doing that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, because, you know, like you said, like doing a write-up, it's one of those things where even the write-ups that I like to read about an event like Revolution, like, I was glad that the guy wasn't breaking down any of the action for the most part. Like, he mentioned some of the big spots in the, you know, the maybe not attempted buckshot lariat, but the kind of, how do you say, what is it when you set up for something but don't go through with it?
Tease?
The tease of the buckshot lariat at the end. Like, he gave enough of the action that it's just like, oh, okay, that's what I need. Like, yeah, I don't want to read my own writing of the action that was happening, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah. No, and that was my mistake when I used to cover shows. I'd always cover, like, the action. I'm like, you're not doing play-by-play, idiot. You know, just say what's going on and why, and, you know, try to make it fun. But no, like, and that's the thing. All right, and that's one thing this show was fun.
Oh.
From beginning to end, minus the women's match, which...
Yeah,
I underestimated how good Riho was, or is, I should say. Because that match with her and Nyla Rose was pretty good on Dynamite. This match with her and Chris Statlander was a not. It was not good at all. And I'm not the only one that had that opinion. The bad part is they were never going to follow that tag team match. There was no one was.
Oh, right.
So, like, and that was fine. It's like, all right, whatever. I wish it would have been better, but it wasn't. So what are you going to do? Well, then you got, after that, well, I guess we'll skip some other stuff, but Jake Hager and Dustin Reynolds was a weird match. Like, they kept talking about Hager being an undefeated MMA guy.
Right.
And he's got good cardio in this. He looked blown up. I mean, he looked exhausted. And it's like, wait, you're supposed to be doing, like, three or five round fights? Like, what? And Dustin Rhodes just looks old, which is fine. He is, but he looked to be in way better shape, that cardio wise, than Jake Hager did. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And I felt like that kind of got a lot of time from the write up that I read.
It did. Yes.
And it's just like, no, this match doesn't need a lot of time, guys.
I think that could be said for a lot of AEW matches in general. Especially on Dynamite, some of those matches, like, You want, like, if, trying to think of, like, just, I'm just going to use names, right? Like, if you got the best friends versus the Bucks are supposed to be the best tag team in the world, right? Then the match shouldn't go 20 minutes.
Oh.
They should be that much better because they are the best tag team in the world that this match is over, you know, relatively fast. Like, it just seems like every match has to be ridiculously competitive. You know?
Yeah.
Just, all right, no, this team's... It was a good match. You can help the other guy get over. But, no, they just... It's going to be 10 minutes and we're done. That sort of stuff. That's all. So... But yeah, there was definitely that on for a couple of these. Darby Allin and Sammy Guevara was not. That was just fun. I don't know how long Darby Allin's gonna last.
That is actually one match that I'm kind of bummed about. Those are two of the kind of young guys that they have on the roster that I really like a lot.
Yeah.
But I agree with you. Like what Darby Allin does to his body. And with the frame of his body, there is something to be concerned about.
Yeah, like we saw him at Evolve. The main event was him versus Austin Theory, and I didn't realize Darby Allin and Priscilla Kelly are dating. I follow her on Instagram. And
oh,
I thought they were just whatever, but it was funny because in Evolve they were brother sister, or something like that. If I remember right, cause they were only there that one time, and then he was gone very quickly after that. And then AEW, then all of a sudden he's like, "I'm AEW." It's like, "Oh, okay." But no, and like even at the Evolve show, he took some awful bump through a tail. Like he went from the top rope and dropped to the ground, and then Anthony Henry did a stomp on him through a table, like from the top rope through a table on the outside. And ooh. I think Priscilla Kelly actually got on top of him too, and it looked like a crime, and yeah, it was just rough. And that was last I saw Darby Allin, but you could just tell by watching, like this kid's. It's too bad he's so small because he's good for WWE stuff, you know.
Oh,
no, dude, he's not big, and he's not a guy that tries to hide it either.
Oh, no.
AEW, I think you can get away with that more than WWE. And yes, I know WWE has some small guys, blah, blah, blah. But that match was really fun. That was really good. But the coffin drop, when it's done right, is impressive as hell. When it's, I'm not going to say done wrong, okay? But when it's done differently, like if he misses it, it looks stupid. And he only kind of caught Sammy Guevara with it.
So, okay.
But then he got tag team. Okay. The biggest issue I have with the pay-per-view is the two biggest matches. I thought they were only average. Moxie Jericho was whatever. Like, it was fine. They tried doing this big reveal with Moxley's eye at the end.
Uh-huh.
But it was too late in the match.
Oh.
Like, Jericho was only working over, like, he worked his other eye for a minute or so. And Moxie was selling it like he couldn't see, he was blind, this and this. And then all of a sudden, Moxie's doing the comeback, which has nothing to do with his eye, by the way. And then all of a sudden, he just pulls the other eye patch up, like, see, I can see. Okay. Well, you're doing fine with the eye patch on, man. So... Why the subterfuge? Like, it didn't seem necessary.
Yeah, if he'd been losing the match, it would have made a little more sense for him to start to come back with the reveal.
Yeah, or if, like, yeah, if like all of a sudden he stops Jericho's comeback because he reveals that he can see. It was very awkward, but...
Gotcha.
And then him winning... Now, his speech at the end was funny because... He was talking, and he paused, a little too long, and they started playing his music. So, because he was giving it like a New Japan speech, like thanks, blah blah blah, all this.
Well, oh, okay.
When he paused too long, they shut his music off. He goes, "What the fuck? I just paused." It was so genuine, and I know he swore, so they probably like, "Oh my god, why are you swearing?" But it was just genuine.
Yeah.
He didn't say, like, oops, sorry, nothing like that. It was like, yeah, it's four, so what? So.
Well, yeah, it's mostly adults that order the pay-per-view, and if you hear one fuck at 11 o'clock at night.
No, this was, like, almost midnight.
Okay, yeah.
It was a four-hour show. But, so there's that, and then the big problem I had was the Cody-MJF match. And I went into it with an open mind, even though I've expressed my concerns about it. And a lot of those concerns were kind of, like, validated. They never once explained why the hell this isn't a no DQ match or a street fight or something, right?
Okay, yeah.
And then they just kept putting all these twists and, like, Arn Anderson got kicked in the face. Wardlow, I think he got ejected at one point. Like, what? And they're, all right, but one thing. So remember when we were talking about it, and I go, why doesn't MJF just leave? As soon as the bell rings, just walk out and get counted out.
Yeah.
He tried that. So they were doing, they started the match, and Cody, every time we go after him, MJF would roll out of the ring. So, you know, Cody's just getting pissed. And then finally, he goes after him, and MJF jumps the rail and just starts walking off into the crowd. And I went, oh my God. This is really smart. And then, you know, after that, it was... Cody Wayne got him. They're just fighting, so it was fine. But,
Yeah.
But they just kept throwing different stuff in. And it was like, I think the straightforward story of Cody trying to get on him and MJF just being, you know, dirty cheat or whatever, because Cody, I guess, broke his toes. Or one of his toes, or his foot, jumping off the cage.
Oh, okay.
So MJF actually took his boot off and was biting his broken toe.
Oh.
Pretty gross. He had a sock on. I don't care. It's pretty gross, man.
Yeah, it's worse with the sock, almost.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, there's all the germs of sweater just sitting there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, realistically, it's gross no matter what. Unless you're a foot person, then hey, it's all you. But, And at least with, like, with that, you could at least, like, try to wipe off your foot on the ground or something. Which I don't know if wiping your foot on the mat's exactly what you want to do anyways, you know? So, yeah. I don't know if that's ideal as well, so. But no, like, those were the two. I just could go further on, but whatever. I've been rambling about it enough. I'll tell you, though, man. I enjoyed it the way I enjoyed a takeover.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah, it sounded like there was a little too much shenanigans going on. Like, I remember seeing Bruce Mitchell give it a 10 out of 10.
Absolutely not. No.
Reading the article that I did, like, I'm like, this guy did a really good job of breaking it down. And even though I might not agree with everything, should I watch it at some point? You know, that's it was good enough and detailed enough for me to go, that isn't 10 out of 10.
No. And I'll tell you what. Well, because of those two and the women's match. To get the show a 10 out of 10 with that women's match being on there. And I've been critical of the women's matches, but I've also been praising them for getting better lately. So
both can be true.
Yeah. So I was actually disappointed that the women's match wasn't that good.
Yeah.
Call me stupid, I did expect more.
Chris Statlander has kind of looked like a pretty good wrestler. And I don't know if maybe they haven't, and I wouldn't be surprised if this is the case, that neither of them have really wrestled someone that's at least close to their own size.
Right. Right.
And... I'm not sure if I'm allowed to go here or not.
You say whatever you want.
But I'm just going to throw it out there. When I heard Nyla Rose have her promo, I'm just going to throw it out there. You can tell that she's trans.
You think?
Just a little bit.
Okay.
Mildly. Like, if somehow you got away with not noticing that she was in the ring.
I I don't know. Like, sometimes trans women, like, it always seems like a trans man, meaning a woman transitioning transitioning to a woman.
Yeah.
A woman transitioning to a man. They always seem to have their shit together because it's women in makeup and stuff, you know, and style, which most guys don't have. So they've got like an upper hand there. But a lot of men that transition from male to female, some of them need some work to do. I will say in this case with Nyla Rose, I don't see it. But of course, Elise was looking up pictures of what she used to look like. And it's quite a difference. So,
oh,
to go to your point, though, I don't know. It just, like, it kind of reminded me of like a China, in a way.
Yeah, I guess I always, so, as many jokes as I'm sure I got off about China and being manly, and there was always something, I guess, to me in her voice that,
yes,
always told me that she was a woman.
Yeah, it's those bodybuilder voices. That's what she had.
Yeah. So it's just like, oh, okay. But I was just like, that's a man's voice. Like it was one of those things that was like immediately clicked in my brain. Like, it wasn't even a question. And obviously, hey man, good for her if she identifies that way. I'm not telling her to do anything different. But I'm just saying that was just like one of those times where I was just like, oh my god, that is really obvious now. Because honestly, for the most part, I mean, we've seen the likes of Awesome Kong and some other ladies who are quite large in the wrestling ring. So that part isn't weird. But, I do think that it's kind of limited. Like, and I know that Chris Statlander isn't as big as Nyla Rose, but there still just aren't. They've brought in like the indiest of the indie women to be in their division.
Yeah.
And still, even in the WWE, like, I would call Charlotte a bigger woman. And I'm trying to think of, oh, Rhea Ripley.
Rhea Ripley for sure. I hate Raquel. I hate the name Raquel, but
oh, Raquel my Gonzalez, god,
she's not a small woman. We saw her, and I mean stature-wise. I'm not talking about weight or anything.
Right.
But we saw her in NXT, at an NXT event, when she was actually teaming with Rhea Ripley, which is why I guarantee you that's why they changed her name. Because it's Rhea Ripley. Reina is too close to Rhea. I guarantee you that's why she had to change her name. But anyways,
well, that'd be a silly reason to do that. But I do, I do wonder if it's just a general thing that the larger ladies don't, they kind of have a problem wrestling each other because there aren't very many of them.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
you know, you're usually the one being the big person in the match, and then when you're kind of close to the same size, it throws off like the vibe of the match. And I'm not sure if that was the case. Again, obviously I didn't watch it, so I don't know for sure, but I do wonder if that played into it a little bit, because like you said, like Nyla Rose had good matches with Rhea Ripley, good liar, with Riho. I didn't see the championship loss for Riho, but I thought that they had a good match the first time around for the women's championship. And she's done it, and Nyla Rose has done well in the she's been one of the few people to get squash matches on TV in AEW. And she, you know, there was nothing that really called out to me that she was a bad wrestler there.
Well, you don't watch AEW After Dark, do you?
No.
Or AEW, all right. Nyla Rose actually had a little program on there, which was good. But it's just the same thing with their division. They don't have a lot of experience.
Oh.
And it showed this. So that's why you can't give the show a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
To wrap it up, though, the one that shocked me how good it was, which I didn't get Orange Cassidy. because he's never done a damn thing on AEW. And if you go and watch his indie matches, depending on what you see, his matches are garbage. It's just it goes back to what I was saying before. It's, all right, so this guy's not going to try? Beat the shit out of him. And I even said in the beginning, I was telling Elise, and probably would have told Sheev, whoever else, if this happens in the character of Pac, Pac should immediately just beat the shit out of this guy. And then match over. But Pac played with him to begin with. So, you know, Orange was doing his little wimpy kicks.
Yeah.
Or his not trying kicks, whatever. And Pac returned them with, like, just his own, like, see, I can do this stuff too. And it actually offended Orange Cassidy. He was like, wait a minute, you're not going to try? And then I can't remember how it all started, but then all of a sudden, oh, he did a move, and then he finally got his hands in his pockets. And then he just turned on the action, and then it turned into like a legit match with Orange Cassidy, like hands in pockets at some points, sometimes not. It was really good.
Yeah.
It's like, well, it's Pac, so of course it is. Or Pac, whatever.
Hey,
Pac sounds better. But.
I guess I had heard enough people, because even before the match was announced, because that was announced the previous week on Dynamite, correct?
Yeah, because Pac beat the shit out of him.
Yeah, and I felt like a lot of people, and that one, I feel like everyone that was kind of friends with Orange Cassidy before, they're like, oh, you're going to see the real, you know, the real deal now, and how well this Chuck guy can saying, wrestle.
He's going to do it, and he's going to try this time. That was the language put out. So, which is hilarious to think, he's doing this, and he's not even trying, but yeah, it was really good. I was dumb. And even the announcers, Jim Ross got one over in that one, too. It goes back to what I was saying. When he's not into something, he says it.
Oh, yeah.
And near the end, he goes, fellas, I got to admit, this has been damn entertaining.
Well, so, I'm just glad that Jim Ross knows how to throw at the fucking commercial break again. Thank God for small miracles. That was just the most brutal thing of any Dynamite TV show. Was how, oh, we're going to stay with us. We're going away. Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to picture in picture. And, yeah, like, he gets cut off midway through it. And it's just like, oh, my God. What's fucking going on here? Oh,
another reason that the show cannot be a 10 out of 10. You know how infuriating it is for WWE when they turn away from the action to show someone in the crowd reacting? There was at least a 5-minute span where every 10 seconds they showed someone in the crowd. They literally showed somebody texting at one point. Yes. And I lost my shit. I'm like, we're missing. It was during the Cody match, I think.
Oh, my God.
Cody and Jericho for sure. Maybe part of the tag match especially. And it was like, what kind of shit are you doing? Like, who, in a sporting event, when there's a lull in the action, they will go to the crowd. Not during the action. And again, who cares what someone's doing? That's what highlight packages are for.
Well, everyone always wants the next meme guy.
Yeah. But you can still do that. A meme never starts that right then.
Yeah, and it doesn't start by trying that hard either.
Yes.
Like, they're trying to create a meme by cutting to the crowd that often. And it's like, just let it happen organically, and then you'll have something. Because if not, you're going to tune into some dude tweeting about the match instead of fucking looking at it.
And I don't know if this is allowed, probably not, but anytime a wrestling promotion sees that somebody is just clearly texting and they're on camera, you should be allowed to go over and be like, you gotta get off your phone or you gotta go. Because you're making our action look really stupid.
Well,
it was like that on Impact. I've seen it on, well, the Saudi shows, of course. None of those guys are paying attention. But no, it's just it's infuriating, and it's distracting as well. So.
Yeah, it did make me think about the camera at the Blue Jackets games, because they inevitably always pan to someone who's on their phone, but then they use their seat neighbors to shame them into getting off the phone. It's just like, hey, you look like an idiot on a giant TV screen. And everyone's like, oh, shit, maybe I should stop paying attention to my phone for 5 seconds since I'm on TV.
Yeah. I mean, wrestling
fans do not have that.
No, I sort of understand if you get a text or something like, oh, shit, I got to return this.
Yeah.
But, like, and I'm sure you probably do the same. Like, if you're at the hockey game or if I'm out at wrestling, I'm not returning your text. I'm there to watch a show. Like, I paid money for this.
Oh.
Like, hey, you want to do a show tomorrow? That can wait. I'm not worried about it. Like, you know, something like that. If it's a business thing, okay, I kind of get it. But I'm also not one of those guys that's going to, like, constantly agrees being on your phone for business all the time is good. Anyways.
Oh, right.
But no, just stuff like that. Just kind of frustrating. So.
Yeah. Yeah, their directing work, I think, still needs some help from time to time on AEW. Just kind of, that sounds like a consistent problem.
Yes,
for them. Like, I feel like it's been better than it had been, but they're still having some issues.
Yeah. Yes. But I think you might have hit the nail on the head there. That they want to get the next meme.
Oh.
And because what was it, like, the last, like everything that happened. Okay, remember Angry Miz Girl when she beats, I'm sorry, Miz beat, it was Orton, right? Or Cena.
I think it's Cena.
Yeah, beat him for the title. And they had Angry Cena Girl, Angry Miz Girl, whatever you want to call her. That was organic. Like, that was just someone pissed that they happened to see. They weren't openly looking for it. She was actually in the crowd that she was so angry she stood out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it just, I don't know, man. I don't, maybe I'm just maybe I'm just cranky about it. I mean, it's like, I'm paying to see the wrestlers. I'm paying to see the action. I know when you're on TV, like if you're watching at home, you're not really paying, but I don't give a goddamn what the guy up in section 106, Rosie, is how he feels or she feels. I don't care. Like, it's just dumb. Like, WWE's especially bad at it, too. I know it was just amplified again.
Enough. Yeah, I still think that they show less crowd shots in general. Like, they seem to like to do the sweeping crowd shot because they wait for those kind of zoom in things for, you know, kind of big moments in matches.
I think my big problem with WWE is I still have not forgiven them for that grievous, ridiculously idiotic mistake when Edge came in and they missed his first spear back. I still just like that's one of the most flabbergasting things I've ever seen.
It's like,
have you never watched a movie or a television show before? Like, when the hero returns, you don't get a long shot. You get an establishing shot, and then you see what he does. Like, just imagine, like, shoot out the OK Corral. So at the very end, all of a sudden, you know. What the hell was his name? Wyatt Earp and the family. All of a sudden, they pull the guns, and they cut away to the bullets hitting the door. And you're like, what? No, you just built all this up to show the gunfight, you idiot. So, anyways, but yeah. But no, I mean, it's solid steps, man. If they build it up again, I might actually get another one.
Oh.
Because, so, I mean, especially when they're only every few months, that's not so bad.
Yeah, that is the other thing that I should factor into the $50 is that they're not trying to do that every month. Because is this their first pay-per-view that they've done?
No. Was it Full Gear? That was a pay-per-view.
Oh, okay.
All Out was a pay-per-view.
But was Full Gear before they had the TV deal? Like were broadcasting on TV?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't remember.
Because I felt like there might have been one that was that Chris and I don't know if Chris and I went halves on that one or not when it was on Bleacher Report Live.
They all are. Which I kept seeing all the problems people were having with Bleacher Report. I'm like, can I just get this on good old fashioned cable? And yeah, you can. Which they don't really advertise. They always say on Fight, which I didn't see it on Fight TV.
Oh, okay.
What they were talking about. And then, because that was the first place I looked. And then Bleacher, then BR Live, whatever. But I saw people were having problems with it. And I'm like, no, I'm not dealing with this new service. Because even when we ordered AIW on Fight, I was a little skeptical. I've never ordered it on there before.
Yeah.
So, but it worked out, so whatever.
Yeah, I haven't had any problems on Fight or... Because I know that the last two AIW events have been on independentwrestling.tv, and those have worked out well for me, too.
Well, that would explain why I haven't seen the AIW. Boy.
Yeah, a lot of acronyms to keep track of.
Well, a lot of close acronyms, too.
Yeah.
But no, man, I like I said, I'll keep saying it, I enjoyed it. I like the presentation. Now, they didn't do a whole lot of backstage stuff, which was fine.
Yeah, it's a pay-per-view.
Yeah, well, I still like when they talk to them beforehand, or like the warm, or the get-up to it. Not these like long, like, did you see what just happened, blah, 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 blah. I was like, no. But
yeah, anyway, I guess I wouldn't mind if they went with the I am a bit of a fan of the New Japan style post match kind of sit down at a desk with kind of faux real reporters kind of situation going on.
Well, in Japan, I believe that's real press though.
Oh, like,
they cover that as sports. I may be a dummy and may be totally wrong, but. It's not like NXT where these people come up to him acting like they're covering him.
Oh.
which is a nice old school throwback, so that's cool. All right, I get why, but
yeah,
it's always like, okay, whatever. So
yeah, I still think that you could probably do a faux version of that, of what New Japan does. If that's all real, that's fine. A, you can invite bloggers if you really wanted to. If you really wanted to go that step.
Well, they have, like, after, afterwards, they do have press conferences. They're just not on TV.
Oh, okay.
They're usually on YouTube or something like that. Which, to me, you know, kind of, I don't know. Goes against the point a little bit.
Yeah, and plus it's just one of those things, and I mean, any combination of us have talked about it. Like, you just I get tapped out at some point, you know. As much as I like the wrestling and kind of the individual organizations for different reasons, at some point I'm like, do I really, after watching a 4-hour pay-per-view or whatever, do I really want to watch another hour of press conference? Because I can tell you how often I watch press conference for even my own favorite teams. Like, I do not really watch a lot of Steelers press conferences, you know, after a game, win or lose.
Right. Well, but you're also, I understand why you wouldn't, because you're not going to see Mike Tomlin, all of a sudden getting hit in the back of the head with a chair by Bill Belichick. You know?
Yeah.
Like, Roethlisberger's knee is not going to get blown out by Antonio Brown. You know? That's why it's like, why? I don't understand. I honestly don't understand the point of press conferences. They don't answer anything. And when they do, it's like, well, what did they really mean? No, I just told you what the answer was. Well, we know you're trying to say, oh, my God. Like, sports radio in general is fucking garbage.
Yeah, I'm so glad that my younger brother and his buddy Tim decided to give it up. They gave me enough Pittsburgh sports radio for me to last a lifetime and for me to never want to listen to Pittsburgh sports radio.
Wait, Brian was trying to do sports radio?
No, not trying to do it. Just, like, they tell me the opinions that we're getting bitched about on Pittsburgh sports radio.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just like, why do you do that to yourself?
Yeah. Well, Shahid's always talking about, like, Philly sports media and how garbage it is. And he like, stopped following him on Twitter and all that. I was like, yeah, don't. It's
yeah, follow your own advice and stop paying attention to that bullshit.
Yes. Yeah, it's awful. And it's usually, well, it's, at least we try to make it entertaining. Like, I don't presume to know anything except my own opinion on something. Unless I talk to someone directly. But most of the time, this shit is just, like, the big thing here is the Panthers are going through a giant rebuild. And apparently they're shopping everyone now. So this is going to be, like, a catastrophic season coming up.
No.
Which is fine, because the Lions are coming this year. So maybe, just maybe, I'll actually see the Lions win a game. Like, in person, which I've never seen before. So I'm all for it. And, like, they're talking about, well, Cam Newton, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, okay. The head coach said he wants a healthy Cam Newton here. He wants Cam here. Well, he said a healthy Cam Newton. Yeah, of course. I just wanted to be here. If he's sitting on the bench, you know, that won't be a problem or anything.
I want an injured one.
Yeah. And then, well, let's go to the phones. What do you guys think? I don't care. I don't care. Oh, just. But the nice thing is, not the nice thing. The thing is, regular radio here is such hot garbage that it's nice to hear these guys talking just so I don't have to hear the alternative or whatever. Charlotte radio is straight shit.
Oh.
I've tried not to swear, whatever else. It is straight shit. Ugh. So, listen to these guys babble. It's that or it's going to be whatever, like news talk, whatever.
Oh.
Which is just whatever, you know, Republican. I don't even know if it's Republican anymore. It's like far right wing stuff. So.
Whatever. Yep.
But yeah, I don't know. How long have we been going? Because we didn't even talk about Raw. And
more than enough time to just wrap up right now.
All
right.
Well, it's too bad Ricochet's got a long contract because there's no story that justifies him being treated this way. Sorry, there's not. So
that was one that I know that I have complained about his lack of mic skills.
But they're terrible. At least in WWE, they're terrible.
Yeah, and it's just like you guys are either doing something wrong or you're also, and B, you're also so stubborn about not using managers.
Yeah.
And all you've got to do is get out of your own way. And I mean, people were just lighting up for that guy without him really even talking. But that whole, even though he says he's a superhero and all that good shit, like, trying to put that on him as a gimmick is terrible. Like, there's nowhere to go with it.
No. And, like, a superhero losing to Riddick Moss
Yeah, like I didn't even have words. Like I saw that and I was just like, I'm ready to shut this off right now. Like there aren't many things that really kind of get that much of a visceral reaction from me in the WWE at this point, 'cause I've just seen them screw with so many people, but I'm like, you have a guy that is that elite of an in-ring guy, and you're gonna have him job to Riddick Moss.
Yes. After getting annihilated. Like, you flew him all the way to Saudi Arabia for that. It's their money, so whatever. It's. Oof. He didn't sound this bad on the indies. It's because he's not like. It's that old thing where they say, it's like, it's not your words, so you don't really have the conviction behind it. And that's a God's honest truth. And it's awful. So.
Yeah, that is definitely something on Raw that at least needed a passing mention.
Well, yeah, that Aleister Black, that match should have never happened. I don't see the benefit in having Aleister Black lose. I know he beat Karl Anderson and then got beat down by Luke Gallows. I understand that, but the crowd was getting behind him. And it's like, why undercut people? And I, like I said, I know that's the out because they're going to say, well, look at everything he had to overcome. Well, how many times have we seen Roman Reigns overcome that, or John Cena, or any of these guys? And they're like big stars. If you want
That
to create one, why not have them go over, or at least have the goddamn Undertaker's music play and distract him? Like that's what I kept waiting for.
Oh yeah, even if you don't have Undertaker show up at all, just
Right.
the bell hits
The
and
gongs,
everyone's
the lights, whatever.
yeah.
Yeah. But instead, no, he just gets his ass handed to him by AJ. Like, and I love AJ Styles, so I'm not complaining about why or who did it. Not at
Right.
all. But at least it wasn't Riddick Moss, that's for sure. So.
Yeah, well, and the other thing is that they, to me, the WWE has just had so many of these high profile, oh, this guy should get revenge recently, and then they haven't gotten revenge. And then they're like, oh, why isn't this character working out? Like, The Miz doesn't get revenge on Shane McMahon for beating up his father. And they're like, oh, why isn't The Miz getting over as a baby face?
Well, he never got revenge on the Fiend. If you look at it that way.
Oh, and well, that was after the other stuff, but yeah,
Yeah,
like
yeah.
the Miz just completely fucked by booking.
But he's also not a good bad guy. He's not a very good guy anyways. So.
Well, no, I'm not really advocating that part, but it's just another one of those things that, the WWE sometimes just can't get out of their own damn way. It's they might have the greatest collection of in-ring talent, but I can definitely understand why people like Jon Moxley are like, "No, nah, I'm done dealing with this bullshit." And oh, another topic to talk about too, Matt Hardy, like, "Nah, I'm out of here." Like he had a char like a fully realized character, and I understand that it kind of goes a little bit in against the WWE ethos, especially the Vince McMahon variety of WWE. But that's why everyone was tuning in to watch him.
Yes.
Like
Just
they weren't.
that's what people wanted.
Yeah, they weren't tuning in for 20 years ago, Matt Hardy.
Now, Jeff, maybe. But definitely not Matt. Yeah, and
Well,
I don't.
because as much as Jeff was involved in all of that ridiculousness, like you never felt like it was his ridiculousness.
Yeah, he always seemed to be the passenger in that car.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so I just it's still amazing to me that Matt Hardy resurrected his career with that goofy shit. And the fact that I first watched it going, this is dumb. And then watched it again going, you know, this is kind of fun, right? And now he may be in AEW. I guess we'll find out tomorrow. So I'm guessing tomorrow. There's been nothing concrete about it. So
oh yeah. I would imagine that people will try to keep it on the down low, but yeah, I mean, and I don't blame him for letting his contract slide. Like, why would you do that to yourself? You've just, even outside of the whole getting jobbed very recently, you know, they haven't had anything for him.
That's his most compelling work that he's done since he's been back.
Oh.
All that stuff with Randy Orton. I mean, yeah. What else did he do?
They had the initial title run, but it was kind of like the Dudleys, like where they brought them back and they're like, "Hey, we're just going to give you guys the titles right off the bat," or pretty, because I feel like the Dudleys, it took them a match or two. No, they won it right away, didn't they?
I don't think they ever won them. Because they were going after the Usos, who were champion, if I remember right. And they were on like the pre-show for WrestleMania or something, wasn't it?
Well, we don't have Chris here to figure it to pull that up in the Rolodex. Yeah. And
so anyways.
It's entirely too late for me to look it up.
Yeah, let's get out of here.
But yeah, I hope that Matt Hardy, wherever he goes, to gets to bring his broken brilliance. Or whatever he ends up having to call it at this point. Because that, yeah, it's a super creative character. And it's something that's nice and refreshing.
Yeah. And especially if something in AEW like that, it'd be... I keep saying AEW, but Ring of Honor's been throwing money out there. And Impact could use them again. That you left Impact on good terms, so... I don't know.
Yeah, that guy's been everywhere.
Remember, Marty Skrull was supposed to be in Marty's. Is it Skrull or Skrull?
Skrull.
All right. Because Jim Ross says it two different ways, or did.
Oh.
It drove me nuts. So, anyways. Yeah. All right. Let's get the hell out of here.
Okie doke. Bell time beer of the show. It's hoplicated. By Levity Brewing in Indiana, Pennsylvania. One of the fine beverages I picked up in my recent trip into the great state of Pennsylvania. Yeah, it's pretty solid. I don't know if it's spectacular, but it's a good beer. So I don't know if it's a glowing recommendation, but hey, I never judge a brewing company on one beer. And it's certainly at least good enough that it's worth trying a flight there sometime if I ever end up in Indiana, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, I was going to say, you got another trip planned there or something?
No, not necessarily. at DeFrango11, at Granny Mays, Stunt Granny is the brand. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you happen to listen to us. And have a good night.
Later, gang.